wetlands. And I've been very grateful to have Ms. Lorraine Gopher to my right and Martha Jones immediately to my left and Madeline Tonkime. Madeline Tonkime is to my far left. And they've been demonstrating in the Seminole Family Camp. And in fact, I believe that they're a part of the tribe's official cultural office. And I've been grateful that they've been here. We've got a nice breeze now. We've like to invite everyone to appear to visit the Seminole Family Camp, but they've been good enough to come here to talk about the Seminole culture and the Seminole Family Camp at the Florida Folk Festival. And Ms. Gopher, can you give me an idea of the Seminole Cultural Office and the sorts of things that y'all have been doing here and at other festivals and other gatherings? Can you tell me about your Foodways demonstration and about the traditions, the food traditions that you've been... Can you tell me about Sofke, perhaps, and fry bread?
Yeah, what we're demonstrating this weekend is we're making Seminole fried bread, which is a fried dough, and then we have what we drink. It's made out of corn and boiled in water, and that's, we call that Oshafki, but it's been changed to Shafki. Sometimes it's written like that, and that's what we've been doing. And from time to time, we go do demonstrations, and as you said, Ms. Tonkime is, I work with her in our cultural education program under the Seminole Tribe of Florida, under the Tribal Council. So she probably can tell you more about, you know, the different kind of festivities that we go to and do different kinds of demonstrations. So I'll let her do that.
Ms. Tonkime, can you tell me a little bit about the cultural office and about some of the patchwork and other traditions you've been doing in the Seminole Family Camp and other gatherings?
Good morning. My name is Madeline, and my Indian name, given Indian name, is Chukogi. And this week, again, I have been demonstrating the patchwork sewing, and people have asked, do they have meanings? But some people have identified them, sort of like labeled them, what they see, the resemblance. Like in nature, you would see maybe a tree, lightning, rain, and that sort of things. But other than that, the seamstress used just the imagination of what she wants to create in her designs of patchwork. And I work with the Seminole tribe. We have 5 reservations within the tribe, and on each of the reservation we have a cultural center, and each of the centers have people that are native speakers, and they teach the young generations, maybe young adults, and any of the tribal members that would like to further their learning of their own traditional ways, like maybe how to prepare food from way back, which maybe they do not today, because we sort of live like fast food restaurants and stuff like that. But we also have people that goes and hunt wild game, so there's some way of preparing them. Wild game, so those kind of things that we teach, language and sewing. We do all the crafts that is demonstrated out here at the culture camp. And we also have a group that from the Brighton Reservation, that's one of the reservations of the tribe, that goes to school at the public schools and teach the young children the language of their ancestors. The other centers, the children mostly participate voluntarily after they have gone to an all-day school, and the adults come to the centers to do mostly sewing, and then we'll have like maybe a culture days, and they call it clan day at times. And clan is the system, family system, and today there is like 8 families, and they just recognized as a Wind Clan, Panther Clan, Snake Clan, Deer Clan, Otter Clan, Bird Clan. There should be 8 of them. I don't know if I named it 8. And there's a Big Town Clan, yeah. And the programs, depending on where they're located at, if they're asked upon to come and do a seminal program, the program that we give them is maybe craft demonstrations, or we have someone go and speak to the group, telling them our history. And we are asked to do some stomp dances with that we have within our tribe. That is rather hard for us to do, being also it's a sacred celebrations, like just in sacred ceremonies. But we do have people that go out and have demonstrations, and they're contacted individually and not through our program. Our program is known as Seminole Cultura Program within the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Thank you.
Thank you. And I'm glad you were all able to come up from your office and from the Seminole Tribe. And finally, Martha Jones, immediately to my left, has been demonstrating her beautiful beadwork in the Seminole family camp. And I know that Ms. Jones also was in the Folk Arts Apprenticeship Program, weren't you, at one time? Could you tell us a little bit about your crafts and your own work? And let me just turn this over to you.
Hi, my name is Martha Jones, and I do beadwork demonstration at Seminole Family Camp. And the beads we use are from size 8 to about size 13. And those 13s and 11, 12s, we weave those with designs, making bracelets or necklaces, earrings, and so on. Now, the big ones like these, we use it for our necklaces only around our necks, which was worn back in the early days, that it was all the way up to your facial, all the way down to your shoulders, with something like this with a silver coins ending it on the outside. But most of us don't dress like that anymore. And as far as the baskets he's talking about, it's made out of palmetto sticks. And you go and pick those palmetto sticks and dry it out for about a week, and then start shaving those down to a thin enough where you can weave it. And then that's how you weave it together and make it into a size you want it. And you use that for corn grinding and shifting. That's what it's made for.
Who did you learn bead making from?
My grandmother and my aunt, because I didn't grow up with my mother. She passed away when I was just a little girl.
Who did you learn basketry from?
My grandmother. And my aunt that does make those now, she's still living. I worked with her in an apprenticeship up here before.
What is your grandmother's name?
Lucy Pierce. Yes,
ma'am. It seems to me that Seminole women's traditions are very important. And I've I've thought that in the Klan, Seminole women are the way that people trace their family line. Am I right?
Yes.
It's a matrilineal system. You follow your mother's clan. So my children are all Snake Clan, like I'm a Snake Clan. And that's how it's passed down. It's a matrilineal system. That's all.
We're going to keep this to a short appearance. If you all have some questions, consider, I'll open this up to you all in the audience now that we've got a small audience in just a moment. But I wanted to continue to ask perhaps Madeline about your own influences as well. Did you have teachers that influenced you with patchwork or other women's traditions?
I was fortunate enough to have my mother up until several years ago. And you learn mostly by participating in the home way and the patchwork. She would do her patchwork, and I would help cut the threads on the sewing of the pieces that she did, that she made into patchwork. And also being participating like in cooking a fry bread and so forth. I wasn't a pro, I guess you would say, didn't cook the best fry bread when I first started. They would be very hard and so forth. But those are the kind of things that you learn as you participate. And that's the way I've learned my way of Seminole life. And also, my dad was around. There are a lot of things I learned from him orally also. Thank you.
You just mentioned oral traditions, and this might be my last chance to ask you all for a story or a song. Do any of the three of you feel comfortable recalling a kind of a something you can share that might be from the Seminole culture, maybe in the Seminole language? We haven't hardly talked about the language, but it's a beautiful language. And maybe could I ask you about Seminole language and culture and how that was communicated in your own families and clans? Perhaps Madeline?
This is a story that I used to hear from my grandmother, and it seems like it's teaching also from the, because they tell it to the children as they start to understand and so on into adulthood. And the way the story goes is how to take care of your babies as you have babies, and and watch them and don't let them wander or anything like that. That's how, I mean, the story goes like that. And so I'm going to do this story in my language. Shukahat kada atadish mun itsurstago jinu aboyi bit edudu indogojish kan adihi bit alad Hombida hoboyi dai ovan. Hobida gojidi ma bogen, ma dana buken adon, ali don ade do dan le salag ovan. Salag adon istid ya haigit shikin, but jogan istamain istid fully took hoyes con. Adida aradit, awuleja istuja bogadin, awulejadin, mahide jogun noskon, added lohoven. Man tafulo, but ye jibidut. Ubida goes in the way, but open in jibid. She came to God, asking to the shijit. So that in who could unway skaji had over him a bo in bohe good yahe gibid a boget toka, a bohe jibigodon, a lehigh it wagged. Hagai came, but I love one. So let Ata did it. Nagged is doing. Anhish in holwa gat hagai kin ba kajin
The possum, the mother possum would go hunting and leave her base at the bottom of a tree trunk where there's a hollow area. And she has done this each morning to, I know you didn't say morning, several times. But another one day when she came back, there was singing and carrying on. And she heard this as she was approaching where her babies were, and she wondered where the noise were from. There were like people singing and dancing, carrying on. As she neared her nest area, it was her babies where this ruckus was going on. And she came upon butterflies, butterflies, right, or moth, butterflies, and they were tending or took over the nest, had the babies crying, and these butterflies were singing and dancing and making the babies just carry it on. And she was afraid to approach the hallowed nest, even though she had said, leave my babies alone. They would not listen to her because of all the noise that they were doing themselves. And she walked away, and as she was mourning, crying, a fox came upon her and asked her what her problem was, why was her friend, his friend, crying. And the possum told the fox what was happening to her babies. They had taken over her nest and was making the babies dance, and they were singing to them. And he said, show me where your nest is, and I will bring your babies or get your babies back for you. So she led him to the area, and he looked upon into the hallow area where this was going on. And then he said, yes, it is happening. It was the way you said. But he didn't help. He turned around and he left. He got afraid and he ran. And since the fox didn't help, she still did not get her babies. So she was still crying and mourning, and a wolf came upon her. And why is my friend crying? And she told the wolf what was happening to her babies. The wolf also went with her to the nest, and he saw the commotion going on, the butterflies singing to the babies and making them dance. And he got afraid. He was afraid. He turned around and he ran. So she did not get her babies back. And as she is still mourning and crying, looking for help, a bear came upon her and asked her, why is my friend in mourning, sorrowful? And she told the bear what was happening with her babies. And I'll get the babies back for you. Show me where your nest is. The bear went with the possum and looked into the hollow area. And he was afraid. He ran. And the possum thought to herself, this person was a large being. The other two were not as large. This was a large being, but he did not help. So she didn't know how she was going to get her babies back. But as she was also still crying, sorry that her babies were being taken over by these butterflies, a box turtle came up on her and said, why is my friend crying? And why is she feeling bad? And the possum told the box turtle how her babies were being treated. Someone had taken over her nest. And the box turtle told the possum, show me the nest, and I will get the babies back for you. And she thought to herself, how is the small being going to help when a large being did not help her? So she went ahead and led the box turtle to the nest. And the box turtle, he crawls upon the ground. So the others that were there before looked over into the hollow area, whereas the box turtle had to creep up close to the edge and to see what the commotion was about. And as the box turtle got near the edge, the sand gave way while the box turtle was tending to turn and run also. Instead, the sand gave way. He went tumbling down into the middle of all this commotion. And then the butterflies flew away. And the box turtle straightened himself out. And as I have told you, I will get your babies back. I have done this. And also turn to the mother possum. Do not leave your babies behind. Where you go, you carry your babies. And to aid you in this, the box turtle had opened up an area in the belly where he told the possum to carry the babies with you and within the pouch. And as they grow older enough to be on their own, they will depart from you. And this is how the possum got her pouch.
We only have a little time left here, so I wanted to ask if any of you who've been listening have a question for these ladies of the Seminole tribe. Right there. Let me repeat the question for the record. The question is about languages and culture. Do the Miccosukee people have a language of their own, and are there more than one language in the Seminole and Miccosukee people? Madeline or Lorraine?
There are two languages within the Seminole tribe. Some people are fortunate enough to speak both. She can. I can very little. I can understand. You know, I think we all can understand some of it. But like I said, some people are fortunate to speak both. But we do have two languages, Miccosukee, and we speak the Creek language.
Which one has been written? Have they both been written down? Do they both have an alphabet?
Yes, they have. Our Creek language, we created, or we started using them back in 1979. And
the Miccosukees, they had missionaries or linguists working with them, so they have theirs set up. I think they even translated a Bible or something, yeah, with the Miccosukee. But us, you know, we just started writing it back in, uh-huh.
Is that one of the languages?
Sometimes they put that with it, with the Creek, Muscogee Creek. Uh-huh, that sounds like Oklahoma. But some of our alphabets, we borrowed the Oklahoma alphabet, and that's how we got it going. Otherwise, it was never written since.
But it's being started to be written, right?
No, we're working on one now, and we're starting up one for our own tribe. Thank you.
Are there any other questions for the Seminole Family Camp participants?
I have another.
Yes.
About the cardboard, the one that looks...
Yeah. Uh-huh.
The question was about Seminole hair, and this will be our last question. You can hear these ladies at the Seminole Family Camp itself. We have Rufus Stratton coming up next. But yes, about the hair.
That's made out of cardboard, and it's covered with black material, and then they tie their hair in the front and pull it over.
There are women today that fix their hair in that hairdo, hairstyle. As she was saying, the ladies pull their hair forward, tie it up around near the forehead, and lay the frame just before where it's tied and pull the hair forward and spread it on the frame. And it's pinned down, then the hairnet is put over it. You'll see some ladies maybe at festivals. We don't have any here that's got their hair do that way, but at festivals mostly.
Well, we'd like to thank you and come visit the Seminole Family Camp, which is beyond the old marble stage towards the south gate of the Stephen Foster State Folk Culture Center. As well, I'd like to thank for their appearance at the Florida Folk Festival the Athatha-Ki Museum of the Seminole Tribe of Florida, who the Seminole Tribe has been very helpful, and though they've made a lot of the appearance here possible. So the festival's a partnership between Florida Department of State and Florida Division of Environmental Protection and Parks. However, the Seminole Tribe of Florida has assisted the Seminole Family Camp a great deal, and for that we say thanks. And thank you all. Rufus Stratton, an alligator hunter from St. Augustine, Florida, will be on this space in just a moment or two.